So what happened was Nelson started, because I left Toronto in 93, he started his own center of media, Center for Media Sciences. So he knew to emphasize the science part. And but he couldn't do much without me, so I was in New York and I would help him compose things. We had a column in an advertising magazine, and we made a little booklet of that collection of that column. Basically, a guy, a journalist, Robert Appel, would throw a question at Nelson, and Nelson would send it to me or call me up, and then I would create the answer, write it out or talk it out, and then Nelson and Robert would make it respectable. They'd fit it within their business model, whatever it was. So it'd be a compromise of me and Nelson. So that went on for a few years. And then what happened in 98, 99? Around 96, I get involved with Don Thiel, who is now another isolated faction. Older academic, president of Trent University in Peterborough, Ontario, really incredible resource. So I got the advantage of Don working with me and Nelson. I brought Don in. I invited him to the Fittings Wake Society in New York in that period, 96, 97. And so we became friends. We hadn't talked since 1990, and I've played that recording of our phone conversation when I got in touch with him in 1990 after having met him in 1982. So he's isolated, but I bring him in. He gets excited. So we decide to form the Marshall McLuhan Institute. Oh, yeah. Mary McLuhan shows up. Now, we were working with Mary. I forgot that. We were working with Mary from 89 to 95. Then there was a... What? Yeah, me and Nelson were working with Mary McLuhan and her center. Well, she stopped raising money. She stopped it around 95, 96. So we weren't in touch with her for 5 years. And all of a sudden, she showed up in 2000 and said, Nelson, you know, why don't you do more? Well, what do you mean, blah, blah, blah. She said, well, you can use the name Marshall McLuhan Institute. We didn't know that. I can't remember the reason, but Mary had registered it or something, and Nelson was involved with it. So she said, you can go ahead and use the name. So we got together with Don Thiel in 2001 and started to organize it. We made a website. We started to put Don's important documents on the website, some of my stuff. And then we were going to have a meeting in September 2001 in Toronto, and we were going to have the son of the mayor of Toronto, a wealthy woman, and Carolyn. So it was looking good. Well, of course, on September 11th, 911 happened. Now, I was still scheduled to go to Toronto for the meeting, and that's, I've told the story where Carolyn and I were driven up by the wealthy wife of the head of the Canadian government, CIA. So we get to go to, she drives us up and gets us through the customs the Saturday after the Tuesday bombing. And so I end up staying at Nelson for 3 weeks. So we had the meeting, and Carolyn was staying with the rich lady, and I was staying with Nelson. And we had our meeting, and that was okay. But nothing happened, really, because everybody was so trying to figure out what was going on with 911. So it was a paranoid year till summer of 2002, which then Nelson and I got a big radio show in Toronto, and we did that for well, I did it from July till November, but then Nelson went nuts for various health reasons, and his mind screwed up. He had a buzzing in his ear, what, tinnitus, which he got from his parents' swimming pool a couple years before. So he found the only solution, the alleviation of it, was smoking marijuana, but marijuana has a bad effect on his mind. So his wife complained to me about Nelson's out of control. This is in summer and fall of 2002. So then Nelson did some stupid things in relation to me. So I left his show first week, November 2002. So that sort of stopped the McLuhan Institute, at least me and Don Thiel's involvement. And Nelson just went on being on the radio show, being a nut on the radio, so that was that. So, meanwhile, Michael Edmonds, who was co-director of Derek's operation at the University of Toronto, he got interested in my stuff. We became friends, so he started infiltrating me into the Derek's operation. So that's where you get that lecture by me in the Cochos, November 2003, and that's when I met George Reynolds, and we stayed at his place, and I met Linus Minimax or Brian Taylor or Minimax, that guy. He came to the lecture. So I started my own scene there with Michael Edmonds, and the McLuhan Center wasn't doing much. Michael Edmonds just monitored and spied into Kirchhoff, and de Kirchhoff was taking it, making it his own operation. He was just creating his own scene in Europe because he was from Belgium. So it eventually, Derek got laid off. He got fired, dismissed in 2008. Then they brought in a woman, I think, and then an American MIT CIA kind of professor came in, took it over, changed the name, and it ended up stagnating. So meanwhile, that's 2008, 2009. Guess what happens? McLuhan shows up to Bob Squared. We know it as Ion, right? McLuhan Squared. So who gives a damn about McLuhan or any institute about up there in Toronto? We have a new revolution, which was the completion of McLuhan, which I just declared on the McLuhan Scholars Facebook page the other day, that we're completing McLuhan. And I should read you what I said. Someone challenged me on that point. But it's interesting to go back and listen to that is 13 years before ION. All I have is the McLuhan scene. I've retired from the Secret Council 10. We're in New York. We're trying to get MIR going. MIR will be suppressed within a year or so after that. So, but I got some good stuff going with Zappa. I'm publishing his stuff, and that's when, right around October 96 is when I got into Flipside magazine. Then I started posting my diaries in 1998, and ran with Flipside for 4 years. So that was my forum, as fringe as it was, but it got to the young people. So that's what else to say. What do you think of what you hear there in talking to McLuhan? It never really happened. Right now, it's this late that some of these scholars are trying to get serious with McLuhan. You know what I mean? It's this late. And they're having a big convention in October, these scholars, around McLuhan. In 98, Lance Straight and Fordham University started. They created the Media Ecology Association. So that's what happened. I got involved with those guys in 98, 99. 2000, so Nelson wasn't involved with us, but we hadn't started our radio show yet with Nelson, but we did the Nonlinear Circle with Mark Spellman for a couple years, and, you know, George Soros is in the news. It was stimulated by George Soros' secretary. She would come and hang out in New York every now and then, so Mark Spellman met her, and she expressed an interest in what we were doing, so we created the McLuhan Salon to intrigue her, and that went on for 2 years. And then you had 2000, Y2K didn't happen. I was always talking to the Evergreens, talking about what they said. They predicted Y2K would not do anything, and that was borne out. So mainly, I was in a way doing what I do now. I got McLuhan Zappa, and that is a cover, while the real operation was the Evergreens. And then that got improved with ION. Still doing the chart and the old stuff as a cover for Dialogue, but working on a whole new level with ION. So you see that the McLuhan operation is not significant to me anymore. My main point is to communicate to those guys, hey, there's a new technology, new environment in our midst. Start paying attention to it. But they won't, because they're POBs, print-oriented bastards, right?
Yeah.
Bob, how did Nelson deal with that pager incident with the with your number flashing? How did he deal with that?
McLuhan wanted him to write down. So they had to wake him up more than he was awake when he did wake up. They had to shock him to a little more awareness so he could write it down. So they created the phone ringing with a harmless number, someone like me, his main dialoguer, person on the phone, so he knew he could call me back. So he couldn't answer it. If he answered, he'd forget. So it was a perfect technique. Woke him up enough for him to write out what McLuhan was telling him. Which I think it was a good message. I can't remember the details, but I can't say Nelson followed it, did it. Nelson wasn't really capable of doing anything other than feeding off what I was creating. So he, no big dramatic change in his life, as far as I know. And then a couple years later, he got that infection, which caused a new change in his life, not for good. So it was almost like he didn't really do it, and then everything went downhill after that.
Okay.
Carolyn just went.
So he wasn't aware of it. So he wasn't aware of the psychic connection. He was not aware of the spiritual plane connection. That was just your inside information you got from the Evergreen thing. Okay.
Right. Well, I would have told him. I think I told him about, I might have even played what I just played for you for him. But he was into Herbert Armstrong. Herbert Tubman Armstrong, he's a fundamentalist Christian, a former Jew, or being a fake Christian, but really being a Jew still. And he did not like me talking to the Evergreens. He considered that interacting with demons. So he was not preparing himself for what was coming in the sense of Iondom.
Bob, was the Evergreens affecting things like the way Ion does? Like, I always hear Ion
they
talking
claim
about,
to.
Yeah, we caused this. They were influencing things behind the scenes.
Yes, Ion came to change the world, and they claim that they did. What did I say? Oh, yeah, the Evergreens claimed that they were doing their mission. It went for 30 years, and it was successful. And that was that, and I was the only one qualified to pick up what they had done and complete it. But they had done a lot. Because they come in early. The Shirley MacLaine New Age world doesn't really surface till the 80s. They're there from 74 in Toronto. And there was just beginning of a New Age scene, which we were always aware of and ahead of everybody on that because we've been doing it since the 60s. So I was fully aware of the beginning of the New Age world in Toronto when we arrived there in 77, but I had been dropping in all through the years visiting McLuhan, so I knew what was happening in the early 70s in Toronto and how things were, that kind of Californication was starting to happen and health food stores opening up. And, you know, people didn't go to those things, but we did. And Carolyn was learning acupuncture and all this stuff. That was in 77. So we were, we didn't interact much with the New Age environment in the 70s because we thought we had the best through Dave Werster. But when the Evergreen showed up in 1980, I heard Michael being interviewed on the radio. I said, oh, this is the new level. So then I get involved with the Evergreens, which then puts me ahead of everybody, but isolates me. Because you can't get anybody in the Toronto New Age community really interested in the Evergreens. They're too silly.
Right.
So Karen and I have always been operating by ourselves on the leading edge, the way it's been for 40, 50 years. And our stuff always turns out to be the best, and everybody else has, whatever they get involved in, turns into a cult or some disaster, and they get shipwrecked. And look at that. Entertainment, as McLuhan would say, is our present-day classroom. Politics is replaced by entertainment, and entertainment replaced politics. We have enough entertaining factors in here to not just be a stuffy academia. You know, that's where we even got the entertainment part down.
Yeah.
No, it's edutainment, Bob. Edutainment.
Right.
That's what Disney called their stuff when they merged into education. Like a Disney company bought out a lot of, or they created their own English language teaching company in China, and they call their brand edutainment.
Let me tell you a story about that. In 1992, there was a guy named Joseph Small, I think his name was, and he was a rogue guy, somehow knew Russians, and he started setting up satellite broadcasts between American cities and Russian cities. So he got interested in McLuhan and Mary McLuhan. So we met Joseph in 91-92, and one thing led to another, so then we were invited to the Oscar Awards in 92. So we go to the awards. We are to speak at one of the after-award parties. So I'm upstairs talking to Jerry Fialka about Venice Beach Zappa stuff. And I said, hey, Jerry, I got to go down there. So I go down there, and luckily they had my name on the list, so I got through. Nelson had been down there for a couple hours, and they walked in right when our names were being called to go up. So I made it just in time, and which wasn't fair to Nelson, but Nelson was all nervous. So he goes out to start speaking, and he can't think, and it's too noisy. The audience is semi-party atmosphere, and they're not really listening. So he doesn't, he gives up. So I just walk out here, let me do it. So I get up there, and I do a Bob rant, and a few people start listening, and I make up for him not doing it. So when I finish, we walk off, and then people start coming up to me and saying, who are you, and talking, and this and all that. So we made an impact, or thanks to me, saving what Nelson was doing. Because Nelson wasn't a public speaker at that time. He didn't know what to do. If nobody's listening, he thinks, oh, I guess, well, I'm not supposed to talk, you know. But so we did that, and so we spent that evening with some Oscar winners, and Mary McClune was there. The next day, I go, I wake up at the hotel suite, and I walk out, and there's Nelson with some stranger, big beefy guy, a typical 80s meatball executive CEO kind of guy. You know, a bit overweight, but mean looking. Right. He's talking to Nelson, and Nelson says to me, Bob, this is just between me and Peter. Okay. But I didn't think that was right, that I should be excluded. But, talk about fate. So I leave the room. And it turns out this guy is working for Disney. They want to take Hollywood and the movies and all, like, the Academy Award archives and make a university out of it, make some kind of educational preservation of all the Hollywood media. So he's asking Nelson some McClune stuff. Now, the reason he's talking to Nelson is he knows Nelson's the son of a billionaire. So these guys go for status, right? I don't know if the guy knew anything about me, and I don't know if Nelson told him. So I'm not there, but Nelson tells me all about it later. So Peter Paul proposes that we, our McClune thing, which was Mary McClune too, write up a report on what we would recommend and what Hollywood or Disney would do to make some kind of edutainment university or museum or something.
Right?
They want to preserve. They're becoming obsolete. The internet's coming in. They're going to be, NLME is going to be obsolete, so they're going to try to turn into a mausoleum. A funeral, a wake, with all those kinds of status. So Nelson doesn't include me much in this stuff, and I don't know what. I'm not up on what's happening. But then I leave for New York the next year in '93, and then I'm off on my own scene, and I leave whatever leftovers he's doing with Nelson, with Mary, on his own. Because I was into Mir. We had a revolutionary medical technology, so I was more interested in what we were doing. So in a way, I was working with Carolyn more than Nelson. But I explained to you what we went through the '90s and all that. Okay, so years later, I think it's in 2000, Hillary Clinton runs for senator. Well, her main guy for her L.A. parties is Peter Paul. This guy, Peter Paul, P-A-U-L. Hmm. Wikipedia, you'll get the details of what I'm telling you. So Peter Paul built up some stuff in L.A. for her political career. Well, quickly after that, he gets pissed off at Hillary and sues Hillary. And meanwhile, I don't know about this, but Nelson is working with Stan Lee, the famous Marvel guy, maybe through Peter Paul, and they're trying to do something, and they're going to get Bill Clinton on board, that would be through Peter Paul, as soon as the election happens in 2000. That's between George Bush and Gore. So then Clinton is he can be available to go back into private business. So Nelson's swirling all this. So Peter Paul ends up suing Hillary. Well, Hillary takes her, quote, mafia or whatever, and they nail Peter Paul. He has to run to Brazil and hide because something's going to happen to him for bugging Hillary. So around this time, let's say 2001, this is probably when that's September 911 month, Nelson shows me a videotape, says, remember this guy? Because I wasn't up on what he'd been doing with Peter Paul. I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, look at this. So the whole 60-minute story, which you probably can see on YouTube, has all this footage of Hillary working with Peter Paul and doing all this stuff, and now she's trying to deny it because he got framed for something, and that implies she's going to get in, brought in. So here it is. Hillary always has this fucking scandal around her. You know, sleazy fucking scandal. So I said, holy shit, I could have got sucked into that fucking scene. Sure glad that Nelson asked me to leave the room in 92, 8 years, 9 years before. So this guy, geez, I don't even know if he's alive. He may be dead now, but he got, he's there locked up in Brazil. I think he was arrested in Brazil. A horrible many years of a problem. And I don't know what it is. You'd have to go look up Peter Paul in Wikipedia. But what happened is that Stan Lee and Nelson had a falling out. And now you can read about that trial. That thing goes on for the last 15 years or something, where Nelson is suing Stan Lee for like $20 billion for Stan Lee ripping off Nelson. It goes on and on and on, and they keep appealing it. They keep losing everything. And about 2 years ago in the Wikipedia, finally the Supreme Court or somebody came in and said, Mr. Thal, stop hassling Mr. Lee. You cannot keep bringing these silly suits against him. And right around that time, I'm estranged from Nelson. I'm not talking to him, but he sent me an email. He says, guess what, Bob? I'm moving to Hollywood. I'm going to be running five studios, blah, blah, blah. He makes this tremendous, stupendous, ridiculous exaggeration of what he was going to do. And so I call up his ex-wife and say, what, is Nelson moving to Los Angeles? No, I have not heard anything about that. And so I realize, okay, Nelson just bullshitting. But he was hoping they'd win their $20 billion lawsuit. And he was planning if he won, he would take over Hollywood. Now this is happening while I have taken over Hollywood thanks to one of the JWs. This is in 2014. We got 5 years of TV shows that are all about Carolyn and me and you guys and not every, even Matthew Rose got named in one of them. And here's Nelson trying to take over, but he's doing it in the old-fashioned chemical body way. We're doing it on some subtle mystery landscape level. He's trying to sue his way into power. Bob gets it all without even fucking noticing it's happening, really. So that's, I have a reason to tell you that. I just want to tell you about Peter Paul and that story. It's pretty interesting. So that Nelson, he's still motivated by my Secret Council 10 stuff. He still wanted to imitate what I was doing, and he tried it.
And it didn't work very well.
Work for him. No, it didn't work. So maybe I'll post, but just put in Peter Paul, you know, when we finish at 11, and read up a wiki about his case. I think there's different stories in the Wikipedia. Maybe I'll send us some links to you or post them so you can read. It's a pretty incredible story. Let's just see if Peter Paul, if he died. Was this guy, you know, what's his name? Brian was just saying something about edutainment and Disney. Well, it Disney, seemed yeah. to have started with Peter Paul and us. Huh. Me and Nelson talking to this guy who, you know, as things become more valuable, you get kicked out by other guys. So he was born September 2nd, 1948. It says Peter Franklin Paul is a former lawyer and entrepreneur who was convicted for conspiracy and drug dealing and later for securities fraud in connection with his business dealings with Spider-Man co-creator Stan Lee. Now, Nelson was caught in the middle of that. He has repeatedly brought suit against Hillary Clinton, repeatedly, accusing her of lying about donations he solicited on behalf of her 2000 senatorial campaign. The picture of her and him. So that's, then there's more and more, then there's a lot of details. But that's the opening thing. That's the guy, see? Yeah, he's still alive, and I fucking survived. I walked into the room after being hit at the Oscar party, and there was the devil ready to fucking weave us in. And Nelson saves Bob and say, Bob, you're too fucking stupid to be part of this. Get the hell out of here.
That's it.